Save your hitting for the diamond, guys, is what we're saying. The Thousand Stoner March.
Well, Thousand Stoner March. I'm assuming it has to do with marijuana.
Yes, it does. But that's so obvious, I'm not giving you partial credit for it.
I'm trying to think of where it was, because I remember Thousand Stoner March. Would it be in Colorado?
No.
D.C.?
Yes.
Lots of stoners marching in D.C. over legalizing marijuana.
Yeah, too obvious. We got to get a little bit more specific. I'll give you like quarter point credit for D.C.
Does it have something to do with, I feel like I read a story about like the actual growing process of it, and the government is trying to put certain parameters on how you can grow it and where you can grow it?
No, not really.
Okay, what's the story?
This is basically a protest that has been called for by Adam Eininger, who is the leader of the Washington, D.C. legalization movement, and supported by Bill Maher, host of Real Time on HBO, which will be taking place on April 2nd. Stoners are encouraged to gather in our nation's capital and march on the White House. Oh. And at 4:20 in the afternoon, have a ceremonial toque. No word on whether or not President Barack Obama will come out and join them.
I was going to say he's just going to get a contact high from the marijuana cloud smoke that will be looming over.
Although we do know from his book that he enjoyed the occasional toque when he was a younger man.
Yeah.
So Obama may come out and show his support. So that is the Thousand Stoner March, April 2nd. They will be heading to the White House. That's going to be a fun day in D.C. That's going to be a really fun day in D.C.
Are you going time for one more?
Yeah, we can squeeze one more in.
All right. Mad Max.
Fury Road.
Yes.
The movie.
Yes.
Won the most Oscars the other night.
But story came out right after the Oscars.
That it hadn't actually won the most Oscars?
No.
That there was a secret video game being developed that got canned because George Miller canned it. Oh, you got me.
Now, the film was actually filmed in South Africa's Namib Desert. The film crew is being accused of damaging wildlife and habitat of the ancient desert. So this is but it's a big news story because essentially what you have is you have the government, it's running the film production. So you have the own government, you have the people trying to go against the government and not actually go against the film crew.
Can I tell you something?
There could be problems there.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here and I'm gonna say that the Mad Max film crew did less damage to the Namib Desert than ISIS did to Palmyra. And that somebody is looking for a little bit of publicity.
Or
maybe
money?
Just maybe.
Money?
Maybe. Just maybe.
Maybe that. It's usually publicity or money.
Yeah.
But like Mad Max really needs any more.
There is everything. There is always somebody who complains or sues about something after the Academy Awards. So this year it's South Africa.
Yeah. They're riding on the coattails of the popularity.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, everybody's talking about this. Oh, by the way, they wrecked our desert. I don't know how you wrecked a desert.
Oldest desert.
All right, so you get one more. Mountain lions. This one's really easy if you follow Big Picture on Facebook.
Oh.
Facebook.com/BigPictureWMFO.
Yeah. Where it was two news and a why.
You get two news and a why every day.
Yeah, and I didn't actually read that story.
Okay, because that was the lead one yesterday.
I remember seeing the story.
Yeah.
What was it?
California, after a 10-year study, is considering spending $55 million to create a bridge over the 101 freeway, which is one of the busiest and most traveled roadways in the country, so that mountain lions can go back and forth to Agoura Hills. The Simi Valley's on one side.
I remember reading the headline of that and saying, You're going to spend how much money on the mountain
line? Yeah, Simi Valley's on one side. There's another big mountainous area on the
downtown
other side.
LA is one of the most impoverished cities in the...
And they want the mountain lions to be able to go back and forth because Agoura Hills needs more mountain lions.
Yeah. Money wisely spent.
I like lions.
Mountain lions... 30, what was it?
I got to believe with the massive homeless problem that you have in California, that the solution is not investing $55 million for mountain lions. If you want to build this thing, go get private funding. Go find people. Go do a Kickstarter. Go find people who like mountain lions and let them pay the $55 million. But I can't see the logic of doing this with public dollars.
Also, how big does this, are all the mountain lions going in unison across, or can you do one single... do we need a lifetime supply of bait to get it to go over?
No, the problem is you have to make it look like the rest of the terrain, so it's this big wide thing that's going to be fully landscaped on the top.
Well, you know all those homeless people that are in downtown LA that could probably use this money. Many of them are probably starving artists that could paint or landscape this new bridge.
Yeah. They're not going to want to be up there because there will be mountain lions on the bridge. and it's like, I suppose it's only a matter of time until the mountain lions start leaping off the bridge at cars.
Yeah.
And then
the Agoura Hills isn't where I want to go.
We never knew.
This is the end.
My God, Agoura Hills. How did I wind up here? It's all over. And then they're splattered on the highway.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
And then all the people suing for having... their Mercedes is dented by a mountain lion.
I love the mountain lions dearly, but I can't see $55 million in public funds going to save what is essentially four dozen mountain lions.
And sadly, half of Hollywood will be all on board.
Yeah, you got to make hard choices. If you can go get private funding for this, it's a good idea. I'm not going to argue that it's a good idea, but you can't pay for this with public dollars. 617-627-3800 is the phone number. Facebook.com/BigPictureWMFO is where you find us online. We're going to be back in just a minute to talk about what happened on Super Tuesday, what it means for the future here on WMFO Medford.
Outside with only a thin coat to protect you from the bitter cold. Desperate, you call out to your family, but they ignore you. All alone, you shiver and shake as frostbite sets in and you slowly freeze to death. When it's cold, bring your cat or dog inside. Make sure other outside animals have adequate food, water, and shelter, and report neglect immediately. For more information, visit PETA.org or call 757-622-PETA.
Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. He's Derek Gary. And I'm Lisa Nichols. We are here with you every Wednesday night. And as always, we want you to be a part of the show. You can do that by giving us a call at 617-627-3800. And Derek, if you are like me, suffering from political fatigue, it is such a hangover Wednesday from Super Tuesday yesterday.
This one, at least, is... somewhat interesting.
Yes.
Because you've got a bunch of states voting at once.
You know what was dope?
And it does, it's not like, oh, here's one state. What does it mean? Oh, here's one. Like, there were actual delegates at hand and races to be decided and lost last night.
I was watching the countdown of the 8 o'clock hour. And I was more excited about that than the countdown on New Year's Eve.
I can't take CNN.
I mean, this is like a political nerd like myself. I get so excited.
I can't take CNN anymore.
As much as I complain
anymore.
About it.
I can't do it anymore. Breaking news. We are ready to make another projection. Breaking news. This isn't breaking news.
We only have 2% reporting, but projected.
Just make your damn projection without Wolf Blitzer hyping it up.
Yeah.
And your studio full of idiots sitting around saying the same things over and over again. I can't do it anymore.
Now, may I just say, I had to go to Damaris to go vote. And I am a registered Republican. I changed over last year. You know, you go to the lady, you go to your precinct, she says, what street? I say my street, number, last name. Oh, Republican, screams it. So, I mean, and we're in an auditorium, so it's echoing. So many people look at me, I'm like...
You're not voting for Trump, are you?
Easy, lady. Yeah. I'm like, let's cool it. So that was fun to start my day.
Yeah, my vote did not do much good last night, which is unfortunate. But here's what we got. Ben Carson is done. He's walking away, finally.
Not officially. I mean, he says, we can't see it yet.
He's done. He's out of it.
He hasn't made his official statement. Thank you.
And the reason is because he hasn't finished higher than second to last in any of these contests so far.
His delegates are up to 8.
So Marco Rubio won Minnesota last night. That's his first win, but it's Minnesota. This is a state that elected Jesse the Body Ventura as its governor. This is a state that keeps sending Al Franken to the Senate. Minnesota's like your crazy uncle.
Yeah, and it also has, you know, on average, negative 30 degree temperatures. So, you know, mindset isn't all there.
Yeah. Cruz won Iowa, which is not as crazy as Minnesota, but you got the caucus thing. It's a little wacky. Texas, not surprising. It's his home state. Oklahoma's impressive, but it's next to Texas, so there's going to be a lot of Cruz recognition down there. Meanwhile, Donald Trump, Georgia.
Cruz won Alaska.
He did win Alaska, yes. No, Trump won Alaska.
No, Cruz won Alaska.
Did he?
Yes.
Did they? Because I know that was close.
That was last night. They called it.
Okay, so
It was late. I want to say it was 11:30-ish, 12.
Gosh, I guess that Sarah Palin endorsement didn't work out too well for Trump.
Yeah.
Surprising. meanwhile, Donald Trump has won Georgia, Vermont, Alabama, Massachusetts, Tennessee, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Nevada, and Arkansas. Nobody's catching him at this point. If you are John Kasich, you have to make a choice. Because, as I maintain, John Kasich is in this to be the vice president. And now that Ben Carson is gone, you're the one guy on the stage with the other three guys who are throwing punches at each other. Sooner or later, somebody's going to take a swing at Kasich. And it's probably going to be Ted Cruz. And Kasich only loses in that situation. Because the reason he's still in this right now to be vice president is because everybody thinks he's a good guy.
Well, and that's the thing. He is. He's a good guy. But there is delusions if you think you're going to win.
He's not
going to
win.
We should be in a race right now to max, maybe 3.
I think Kasich wants to stick around until Ohio, win the Ohio primary, and then put that on the table as a negotiating tool and say, I should be your vice president. Look how well I did in New Hampshire. Look how well I did in Massachusetts.
Yeah, but you
look
think
how well
that
I did
he's
in Vermont.
Going to Trump. I, on the other hand, think essentially what needs to happen, because everybody is in this game of me and not we. If you look at the split screen, whether you're watching CNN or Fox News, you may be questioned, well, there's 2 people on this side. You have 5 people on this side. How is Trump winning? That's the biggest question. And everybody's asking, how is Trump winning? Because you have him having that little majority over.
No.
No, yes.
But
Derek, if you look at primaries, what primaries are used for is for a state to choose who they want to be their guy.
Donald Trump won Massachusetts by 20 points last night. Am I right about that?
But Massachusetts is the only state that he even got close to getting half of the amount.
He
was sitting at 49. He has never surpassed 50% of the votes.
Because we are talking about a crowded field, even going into last night.
Exactly.
5 candidates in every state, okay? Donald Trump may only be getting 34%, 35%.
Yeah, but in many of these races, it was very close. So you had Trump sitting at 38, maybe Ted Cruz sitting at 31, or Kasich at 35.
Yeah, but in the greater majority of these states, nobody else is getting much over 20%. Donald Trump has double-digit leads in all these states that he's winning.
Because a lot of those votes are split between those 4 candidates. So now you have Carson out, which really isn't going to make the difference.
No.
You have Kasich. Now you're saying Kasich's going to go to Trump. If I believe what's going to happen.
No, I'm saying Kasich is going to step aside after he proves that he can deliver Ohio. And then when the convention happens, he's going to step in and say, I can deliver Ohio. I would like to be the vice president. Whether it's Donald Trump or Ted Cruz, he doesn't care. He wants that VP slot. And he's playing this very well. But he has to stay on the road until Ohio votes to prove his value.
So he can get which delegates is, also.
I think it's the because, only I mean, reason he's still in at this point.
Because if we get to a situation, though, where Donald Trump does not receive, what is it, 1,237 delegates to get in it, we now go into the convention as a brokered convention.
He's going to get there. There is no doubt in my mind that he's going to get there.
Unless something huge happens. I pray, please, Rubio, take a step out. If you had a Cruz and Rubio ticket, because I said it before, Cruz is in this to win it.
Rubio
has this delusion of winning it, but he also understands, like Kasich, he has value as a VP.
Rubio is laying the groundwork for his next presidential campaign, whether it is 4 years from now
or 8 years
from now.
So then take a step out now. Because, but
no.
But if we want to talk about the Republican, you know, just the GOP itself and caring about it, then take a step back and go on with Cruz, push those delegates there. Because if you have, I mean, people will walk over coals if you now have a Cruz and Rubio ticket. That will elevate way past Trump.
That's bad.
You may not think so, but
bad strategy for Rubio's future, because the longer you stay on the trail, the more states that you go to, the more people have an opportunity to vote for you, the better you're going to do 4 or 8 years down the road. He gets that. Cruz gets that. Cruz isn't going to go anywhere. Cruz can't win this nomination. He knows it.
He can win the nomination.
He can't win the nomination.
He can win the nomination.
He would have
he
to run the table at this point. He would need Rubio to get out. He would need Kasich to get out, and he would need to run the table, which he's not going to do because he's polling behind Donald Trump in a lot of key states.
It could happen.
It's not going to happen.
Rubio stepped out and said, if you have a place for me on your administration or take the VP ticket, we're talking about laying a groundwork
Rubio's,
for the next administration. Yeah, of course.
Rubio's voters are just as likely to go to Trump as they are to go to Cruz.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
There is a reason why you support Marco Rubio over Ted Cruz. It's because you don't like Ted Cruz. And a lot of people just don't like Ted Cruz. Maybe it's because his logo.
Yeah, but at least he is in the establishment to some degree and looks on the Constitution.
But he's not. Everyone in Washington hates him because he's been walking around Washington getting people to hate him so he can play the role of Tea Party outsider.
I disagree.
That's reality.
What the reality is, and what a lot of people don't need to wake up, you have your nominees already decided.
Yes.
As much as this whole feel the burn thing going on, and everybody believes that, you know, maybe more of the northern states, Bernie Sanders, will have... It's not happening.
I would say I'm disappointed.
Hillary Clinton is already written in. I was really hoping Bernie Sanders, when those first projected numbers came out, that he was going to win Massachusetts. I think at first it was 49.
Yeah, I would say I'm disappointed in the southern states for what happened on the Democratic side yesterday. But they're the southern states, and it's really hard to be disappointed at them. It's just hard, because they're the southern states, and they are what they are. Nothing against the people down there, but it's just like, yeah, you do things like this. You behaved exactly the way everybody thought you were going to behave. When you had a legitimate candidate that would have made your lives better on the ticket, you went and voted for Hillary, who was going to give you 8 more years of the same suffering and crap that you've had for the last 8 years. So good on you for that. But on the Republican side, Cruz needs to get rid of this American flag in flames logo that he's got that looks like it was designed by the same folks that did Al Jazeera TV. Have you seen that thing?
Yeah.
It's the American flag. Why is the American flag in flames?
I have a Ted Cruz pocket constitution in my purse.
Does it have the American flag in flames on it?
Not in flames.
Why does he do that?
I don't know.
It's like the American flag as fire. Cruz is not going to get this. And I have to say, I am stunned, continually stunned, at the way the Republican establishment is treating this. Because the Republican establishment has spent the last 8 years sitting around saying, we can't win a national election. We can't come up with a good candidate. We can't come up with someone who people want to vote for president. Now you got somebody who is who generated record turnout yesterday. Mm-hmm. Highest Republican turnout for a primary election in U.S. history. And they're all like, how do we stop him? How do we get rid of Donald Trump? This is why the Republican Party is not winning anything. Because you were shooting yourselves in the foot.
What
get
Washington
on board with the guy.
Is listening to and what the majority of the people that you walk around and hear talk is listening to mainstream media. Who is pushing this narrative that Donald Trump is the enemy? Donald Trump is the supervillain.
The mainstream media is pushing that message because it is fed to them by the Republican establishment and the Democratic establishment.
They also create a little of that themselves.
Can I tell you something? The American media...
So what you're trying to tell me is that 22-minute piece that was on John Oliver the other night, that was solely coming out of Washington and the RNC.
The American media isn't creative enough to come up with that on their own. They're not.
Yeah.
Not on this level. There may be a John Oliver here or there. There may be a couple of people at the New York Times that still know what the hell they're doing. Most of the people working in our media right now are sitting there looking at what everyone else publishes and saying, oh, I'll publish that too. Mm-hmm. So all the Republican National Committee and all the Democratic National Committee have to do.
Your mainstream media, your, you know, news outlets that you've been watching for years look like TMZ.
Yeah.
All of that information is not coming out of Washington. That is fluffed up pieces that they are putting out. It's crap news.
Yes. That's what our media is capable of.
They're generating on their own. We're getting certain messages coming out of Washington and coming out of the RNC, then yes.
Yeah. They run with it. The Democrats feed stuff to CNN. The Republicans feed stuff to Drudge and Fox. Mm-hmm. One of them runs a story. Everybody else reruns a story. And national opinion is made. Donald Trump equals bad. Bernie Sanders equals unelectable. You hear it from every single outlet simultaneously. As if they're a bunch of sheep bleeding into the wind. Because that's exactly what they are. There's no editorial judgment here. There's no creative thinking on the part of any of these people. They are saying what they are being told to say by the party establishment. Because if they don't, they lose access to the party establishment, which means, oh, we don't get interviews with the senators and the president and everybody else anymore, which means we won't be able to sell advertising. By the way, those advertisers are buying and selling our political parties. Bernie Sanders is right, folks. Bernie Sanders is right in everything that he's saying. And there are a handful of media outlets left and a handful of individuals left who get it, who will try and steer you in the right direction.
Now, let's say...
John Oliver, by the way, is a smarmy twerp who irritates the living hell out of me.
Let's cut to November. You have...
Trump wins.
Against Hillary?
Yes. Yes.
Derek, that is my biggest fear.
Why?
That she wins.
Oh, that Hillary wins? No.
Yeah.
Will not happen. Terrified.
Because I've accepted if Trump and you know what? If I lose friends, I'm already convinced by November I will have no friends.
If she manages to avoid being indicted, which is a huge if at this point, Donald Trump will eat her alive. Because
see, that's...
Who's voting?
What I would assume.
Who's voting for Donald
Trump? For some reason, Sanders actually get it. You would actually have like an election.
Who's voting for Donald Trump? Democrats are voting for Donald Trump. Yeah. Independents are voting for Donald Trump. 20,000 Democrats quit the party in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts last year. Some of them became Republicans. 20,000 Democrats, is according to Secretary of State Michael Galvin. 20,000 Democrats quit in Massachusetts last year.
Oh, no, Ransom decided, yeah.
That's unheard of in this state. Mm-hmm. Usually it's the Republicans that are quitting or moving out. 20,000 Democrats quit.
Would you also think that Trump would win in Massachusetts?
Oh, yeah.
I assumed that it would happen, but so many people were completely shocked.
What, did he win Massachusetts?
Yeah.
No, that didn't surprise me at all. Kasich,
but just to think about...
Kasich had a good ground game going in this state, mm-hmm. and Cruz and Rubio were never going to do very well up here. Carson, if he'd managed to keep it together a little bit longer, might have been a viable candidate. But this is a working class blue collar state with a handful of elites clustered around the city of Boston who like to think they're the only thing here, who like to think that they run everything. They don't. And the reason Donald Trump works is because the elites have had the last 24 years. The last 24 years, from Bill Clinton onward, the elites have been running this country. And what's happened? The American people, every year that goes by, every election cycle that goes by, things get worse. We have police gunning down black Americans. We have Debbie Wasserman Schultz saying, let the payday loan lenders write their own legislation. Mm-hmm. We have Obamacare, which solves none of our health care problems.
No, absolutely, and I've said it. If you are happy with everything that's been going on for
stagnant wages,
the past
outsourced
7 years,
jobs,
then vote for Hillary Clinton, because nothing will change. And as much as she says, we're going to, you know, not make America great again, because America's always been great, we're going to bring it back together.
No, we're going to make it whole. She wants to make America whole.
Whole again.
I don't know which part of America's broken off.
BS.
Some part of America's broken off, apparently.
Is she going to
put Hillary's going to glue it back on.
She's going to, you know...
Maybe she's going to tow
glue
it across.
Gun it right.
Yeah, maybe she's going to tow it across the ocean.
Hawaii, is that going to be part of it again?
Glue it to California.
American Samoa, she won there. She's going to try to bring it back into the states. We're now going to have 51 states.
Can we build a bridge?
Mm-hmm.
Can the mountain lions use it?
Of course.
This is what I want to know. 617-627-3800 on Facebook, facebook.com/bigpicturewmfo. We would love to hear your thoughts on last night's Super Tuesday primary results and these idiots in the Republican Party. Just get behind the man. Stop being afraid of what you don't know and salvage what little of a party you have left, or in another 10 years, you will be obsolete. 617-627-3800. When we come back, Apple Computer is locked in a battle with the FBI. The FBI is wrong. We'll explain why right here on The Big Picture on WMFO Medford.
Big brother, big brother. nicotine everywhere. Lord, I think you overdosed if you knew what's going down. Someone to claim her, someone to follow, someone to shame her, some brave Apollo, someone to fool us, someone like you.
You're rolling through the mall with your girls when, bam, you see a mannequin sporting a slamming top and it's hooked up with a blazing miniskirt. Suddenly, you see yourself flossing it to the big game this weekend. You start looking for the ATM. Then one of your girls checks you. Honey, that skirt is way too short. That's the kind of skirt you can't sit down in, not without showing all your business. And that could be a problem because you're always sitting in your wheelchair. All because you didn't think you needed a seatbelt just to run out to the store. Then that truck came out of nowhere and whack! If you had only known that most accidents occur close to home, you would have been wearing your seatbelt. And the story wouldn't have gotten all twisted. And you wouldn't have gotten hemmed up. So buckle up. Because you never know.
This message has been brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like Mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary here with you till 9 o'clock. And we want to hear from you, and you can do that by being part of the show and calling 617-627-3800. Now, Derek, I am going to ask you a question. How would you compare the safety of millions of iPhone users to the safety of people?
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one.
And people of America. Now, this has been, I'm sure you have heard of it in the past couple weeks, and we've been dying to talk about it. So we have very strong opinions and major debate going on between two big forces. One side, we have Apple. The other side, the FBI.
Yes.
And essentially, what happened, we remember in December, Syed Farouk and his wife killed 14 people and 22 in San Bernardino. The FBI director, James Comey, has recently revealed that the FBI is trying to get into the phone. They've recovered the information that is on the iCloud, but can't get in the iPhone. Why is that? Because Apple, they want to protect their customers to go against, because we do live in a spy state, NSA, you know, thank you, Snowden, showed us about that, where the government at any time has information on through your emails, text messages, and whatnot. What Apple created in their product was this new operating system that, with encryption, you can't get any information.
What happens?
There's no way possible.
What happens is if you try and crack an iPhone using...
Ten times you can guess up.
The way that most security experts and the FBI would do it is to use what's known as brute force password cracking, where you basically plug in the device and you have a computer run every possible combination until it finds the right one. Mm-hmm. It takes about half an hour to do it if you've got the right software. The problem with the iPhone is you get 10 tries and then all of the data on the iPhone vanishes.
Mm-hmm. Now, gone. When I had Android, if I did my code or swipe key more than 3 times, then it would lock you out for, I think it was 30 seconds.
Yeah.
What I love about having the iPhone now, I know, another feature I love, that is great to know that somebody can't break into your phone. Now, last week you had Apple CEO Tim Cook come out. He published this open letter to customers, basically announcing what Apple's decision was. You had the FBI filing a court order saying, Apple, you need to now create a backdoor.
Yes, you have to go write software to let us get into this.
Not you need to unlock this phone. You need to now create a brand new product that is going to make this backdoor to the cell phone. But not just this cell phone. All the cell phones.
Well, no. The FBI would have you believe it is just this one phone.
Yes.
This is where the FBI doesn't get it.
Now,
and this is a story.
And a lot of people that are uninformed about what's going on. Because I've had this conversation with people and saying, you know, this is one thing that I disagree with Donald Trump on. I also disagree with Ted Cruz on it because they think it's just this one cell phone.
Right.
It's not. Now, in this open letter.
But as I said, this is a story about people who get it and people who don't get it. And the people who don't get it primarily are the FBI and the politicians. And the people who do get it are trying to tell them, this is what you're asking us to do. And they're saying, no, it's not.
And understanding implications of what could happen.
Because they don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Tim Cook said, quote, we're challenging the FBI's demands with the deepest respect for American democracy and the love of our country. We believe that it would be in the best interest of everyone to take a step back and consider the implications. He went on to say, up to this point, we've done everything that was within our power with the law to help the FBI. But now, the U.S. government has asked us for something simply we do not have, and something that we consider far too dangerous to create. You have the head of Apple coming out and saying, we can't do this because this is dangerous.
Right, because he gets it. He understands how the technology
works. Door. Now, I'm not just talking about a backdoor for our government. Because as much as they want you to believe, it's just this one time. We need this information. Because, Derek, wouldn't you like to know if Farouk and his wife had, you know, other connections? It was part of a bigger cell?
Yes, it would.
Yes, absolutely. The government has, especially with dealing with terrorism, plenty of tools within their sources to deal with stuff like this. Why do we now have to go to Apple and say, create a new product just for this one phone?
Well, both sides sat in front of Congress yesterday to answer some questions, and there was a bombshell that came out when it was revealed that the FBI had directed the owners of the iPhone, which was the California Board of Health, which employed Mr. Farouk. They told him to change the password on iCloud because they thought that would allow them to gain access to the information on the phone. As it turns out, that is the worst possible thing they could have done because by changing the password, it automatically locked the phone out of everything that it had ever contacted, every wireless device, every router that it had ever gone near. And as Apple said, if they had simply gone and found a router, gone to his house, and tried to connect the iPhone to it, they probably would have got all the data they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So the FBI mishandled the evidence. That's what they did. Because they don't get it, because they don't understand how it works. The FBI mishandled the evidence, and now, because they mishandled the evidence, they believe a private American company should be required to undo their mistake and jeopardize the security of millions of American consumers who have paid for a device that provides them a level of security.
It's unbelievable to me. And the fact that we're talking just about Apple and the U.S. government, if this were to go through, you know that you would have every single country across the world now going to Apple and demanding the same things. But it doesn't just stop at Apple.
It's not even that. And if it was just that, then
but we're maybe not you can talking about just Apple iPhones. We're now talking going into tablets, going into smartphones, anything that has a smart device, anything that has a microphone, anything that has a camera.
There are two problems with this. Problem number one is that if you write this code, even if it is only kept at Apple, even if they only ever intend to use it on this one phone, even if it is operated through an air-gapped machine that is never connected to the internet, you now have two things. Number one, a piece of code that will unlock any iPhone in the world. And number two, somebody who knows how to write that code.
Mm-hmm.
Which means all of the security that consumers have paid for, all of the privacy that customers have said they want, is out the door. That's problem number one. Problem number two is if you do it, you prove that it's possible. So forget the vulnerability of the written code that lets you do it. Forget the vulnerability of the engineer working at Apple who now knows how to do it, who may be tempted to sell that information to a hacker for a few million dollars. Once the hackers know it can be done, they're going to go out and do it.
The thing is, we live in a world of changing technology. And what Apple was really trying to do is restore, after in the ages that we live in with NSA and government spying, they were trying to restore some sort of privacy.
Yeah.
And now the government wants to cancel that last bit of protection that you have. That is unbelievable. I mean, if I don't understand how somebody can't comprehend that. Because that's what's going on. That is what's happening here.
Because
I'm not talking about taking, you know, a key. If you want to use the actual visual of a back door to a phone, a single phone. But that key is a master key. So it now opens up all of them. And what that master key is a code that is basically reversed from these people that created it. To be there.
Because the FBI is...
This affects all of us.
Because the FBI and the Justice Department now exist in a world where they believe every bit of digital information that exists should be theirs. That they can't do their jobs without it. Well, guess what? These organizations have been doing their jobs without all of this information for decades.
Derek, think about what's on your cell phone. I mean, you're actually pretty good, though, about bank statement. You
they
know.
Can have it.
But for the average person, say, here's an example. I have CVS on my phone, the app, and I can refill my prescriptions. So that is my medical records. I have my bank on my phone. So it has my bank accounts on it. So many of these things, people have business secrets and whatnot. All of that now can be out in the open. I mean, we're not even just talking about the intimate conversations that you have with family members or loved ones. Everything. We deal with so much of our phone, and especially with Apple products, how everything's connected. That is why the cloud is so good, because if you do lose your phone, you don't lose everything. You can now hook it up to your iPad or your laptop.
I get it, by the way. I get why the FBI wants this. There's another issue in this, by the way, in that we don't even know if there's any evidence on this phone. We don't know that there's even anything there.
Mm-hmm.
So you also have to raise the question of whether or not this is a legitimate warrant, if they have a legitimate interest in getting into this. The analogy that I would use for this is, if I write down all my plans and all my contacts and everyone that I've talked to on a piece of paper and then set that piece of paper on fire, the FBI is never going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
They can't reconstruct the piece of paper. This is the same situation.
Now, you actually had, during a recent event that was hosted by the Wall Street Journal, General Michael Hayden, he's a former director of the CIA and the NSA. He came out talking about James Comey and saying, I'm against him. What he's trying to do is unspeakable. And he's saying that Jim's logic only remains to... Derek, you need to accommodate the government. You need to accommodate Jim Comey and what he wants from you as a U.S. citizen.
Right.
Are you okay that we have somebody, the head of the FBI, demanding that or wanting that?
Well, here's what... there was a finding against... another law enforcement agency that was trying to get Apple to do this from U.S. Magistrate Judge James Orenstein last week. This was on a drug case in Brooklyn. And he said, and I quote, in its most recent use of the All Writs Act, which is this piece of 1782 legislature.
226 years old, 18th century law.
That basically says everybody has to do what a judge orders them to do, which is never used anymore.
I mean, it was designed to, you know, kind of fill in power with the courts to allow to give meaning to other
right.
orders.
But here's Judge Orenstein. In its most recent use of the All Writs Act, it goes so far as to contend that a court, without any legislative authority other than the All Writs Act, can require Apple to create a brand new product that impairs the utility of the products it is in the business of selling. You're asking this company to go make something that breaks everything that they sell, everything that their company mm-hmm. is built on, everything that consumers have invested in.
And when you put it like that, what sane person would agree with it?
I want to catch the terrorist bad guys just as much as the FBI does. But I am not going to take down an American company and the privacy of millions of Americans to do it. The government doesn't get this. This is what Snowden was all about. This is what WikiLeaks was all about. This is what everybody in the federal government has been trying to run away from and brush under the table and sweep under the rug and say, hey, American people, you don't have anything to worry about if you don't have anything to hide.
Well, now they just found a new way of doing it, going to American companies and making them create a new product so that they have a way in.
It's not just about you. As soon as that thing is written, every bad guy on the planet is going to have it. And every bad guy on the planet is going to be hacking into people's phones, taking their personal information, taking their financial information, posting their nudes on the internet, doing all the things that everybody does. This cannot happen. Sorry, Director Comey. You do a great job. I like you. I respect you. I respect the FBI. I respect law enforcement. You don't get it. Listen to the people who do. And the next time you get an iPhone from a suspect and you want to find out what's on it, take it to Apple because they will be more than happy to help you. They hand over iCloud information all the time mm-hmm. when asked to do so for investigations. They're not sitting there saying, we don't want you to have the information.
No, Tim Cook came out and said, we've complied with every case, every single thing that they've asked us for.
They're saying, we are not going to jeopardize all of our customers for the sake of this one investigation. And they're right. 617-627-3800. When we come back, what's hot? Our favorite things from the past week. And that's a thing that happened. The strangest stories from the past week right here on WMFO Medford.
Well, here we are again. It's always such a pleasure. Remember when you tried to kill me twice? Except I wasn't laughing. Under the circumstances, I've been shockingly nice. You want your freedom, take it. That's what I'm counting on. I used to want you dead, but now I only want you gone.
Did you think I meant you? That would be funny if it weren't so sad. Well, you have been replaced. I don't need anyone now. When I delete you, maybe I'll stop feeling so bad. Go make some new disaster. That's what I'm counting on. You're someone else's problem. Now I only want you gone. Now I only want you gone. Now I only want you gone.
I'm Sarah, and this is my story.
I'm Ellen, and this is my story. One night, I was at a bar.
I was having fun with my friends. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel to go home.
I got a cab to go home.
All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road. It happened so quickly, I barely had time to react.
The cabbie barely had time to react.
I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I can't believe it. I hit a guy.
I cannot believe it. The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Don't drive buzzed. It's a decision you'll never regret. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome.
We're on WMFO 91.5 Medford, and it's time for What's Hot, our favorite news story from this week. Pornhub. It's in the news. Today, they released...
Pornhub's in the news every day for me.
They released all the search terms, state by state.
Oh, I love when they do that.
Because I love, you know... Anything when we find out what each state is searching for, whether it's the most searched Google term or whatnot. Now we're getting into Pornhub, which is hysterical. Now, much of the country is looking up lesbian content.
Nice.
30 states. Now, more than 100...
Sisters are doing it for themselves.
Oh, wait. It gets better. So, 5 states, Wyoming, Montana, Minnesota, Ohio, and Maine, were way more into stepsisters. While stepmom was attractive in Alaska, Washington, New Hampshire, and Kentucky. If we look at Nebraska, Arkansas, and Tennessee, also Vermont, ebony and cartoon porn. And then we're going down to southern states like Mississippi, Louisiana, Georgia, as well as Delaware. They like the MILF. They also like Asians. MILFs and Asians.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's fun.
That's awesome.
Share your big ones, stepsisters, and lesbians.
Massachusetts, by the way, is into the lesbians.
Rhode Island, MILF.
Rhode Island is into the MILFs. Vermont is into the cartoons. And New Hampshire is into the stepmoms. Yeah. What is going on up there in New Hampshire? Ooh. Stop being into the stepmoms. That's not cool.
Yeah, well, when your stepmom's like 25.
That's not cool. Maine, I'm surprised Cousins wasn't number one. If you are looking for something to do this weekend, I meant to mention this earlier, but we haven't had a chance. The Lego Americana Roadshow is at the Providence Place Mall, right there in the heart of Providence. It's exit 38C, I believe, mm-hmm. off of 95 South, just about an hour outside of Boston. They have 8 models of U.S. landmarks, including the Old North Church, Independence Hall, the U.S. Capitol Building, the Lincoln Memorial, Jefferson Memorial, the Liberty Bell, that you can go and see. These are massive, huge, giant Lego creations. The Lego Washington Monument is 504 bricks tall and almost reaches the ceiling at the mall. It's great. Go check it out. I don't think they're doing any more building events, but they are running some contests where you can win a $100 gift certificate at the Lego store. kids love seeing these things. The one thing I'm going to say is if you go, please stop throwing pennies into the Lincoln Memorial and the Jefferson Memorial. Dead presidents don't grant your wishes. I don't know why people are doing that. It doesn't work that way. But both of those models are full of pennies because people are throwing pennies into them.
Good luck.
Yeah, what? Lincoln ain't going to give you good luck. All right? He freed the slaves. That's all he's going to do.
And as we end the show every week, it's time for that thing that happened, the craziest news story from this week. Wisconsin. They like their beer up there. A Wisconsin jury has rejected claims from a repeat drunk driver that he smelled of booze during a traffic stop because he had just eaten beer-battered fish and chips at lunch. John Prisblyla, 76, was convicted yesterday for his 10th drunk driving offense by an Adams County jury and also found him guilty of a second felony misdemeanor, driving with a revoked license. Prisblyla faces a maximum of 12 years in prison on 3 counts. As detailed in the police report, Prisblyla was pulled over by cops in October 2014 for driving erratically. Upon approaching Prisblyla, a deputy noticed, quote, the smell of moderate odor of intoxicating beverage emitting from his breath. Additionally, the cop noted that Prisblyla's eyes were bloodshot and glossy, and an open can of Red Dog beer was in the truck's passenger seat. During questioning, he denied that he had been drinking and said that he was on his way home from attending a fish fry where he consumed a lot of beer-battered fish. He struggled with cop as nurse sought to draw blood sample for testing. The suspect said, quote, he was going to sue us for taking his blood because it was against his religion. That was reported by Deputy Brian Lorahan.
Wow.
The beer battered fish and chips gets you drunk.
No beer battered fish and chips defense. You know, it seems to me that given the amount of beer that's in that batter.
That's like saying you're drunk off of Listerine.
Given the amount of beer that's in that batter, your breath would smell like fish.
Yeah.
Not like beer. Mr. Prisblyla, advice for the future. Wisconsin. So we're both in Wisconsin. They're like the Florida of the Midwest this week. 22-year-old Dylan Van Camp saw his girlfriend talking with a boy that she knew on social media, so he did what anyone with impulse control issues would do and punched her in the face. Later the same day, he pulled her out of the shower, threw her on the bed, covered her face with a washcloth, and poured 3 cups of water on her while demanding that she confess to cheating on him. Instead, she called police, telling them that she knew this as waterboarding and that it was some form of torture. Van Camp had been dating the victim for about a month, but is now spending time in the county jail where he faces 6 felony counts. Ladies who can't get enough of the bad boys will be happy to know that he has a profile on Plenty of Fish, where his status says he is looking for a relationship.
Looking for love.
Yeah.
Nothing says relationship. You know, it's going to be strong like waterboarding.
One of his.
Because if your significant other can take that, they can take anything.
Really, after a month of dating, it's a little too soon for waterboarding. Waterboarding is one of those things. It's one of those things you really don't want to introduce into the relationship until you've been together for at least a year.
Then really, yeah.
Not a month, a year. And by the way, on his Plenty of Fish profile, yes, there is a picture of him holding a rifle.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Is he in camo?
Dylan Van Camp. He's a bad boy. Ladies, if you like the bad boys, you will love
He should
Dylan
get
Van
the,
Camp.
There was a t-shirt from somebody in a mugshot that was actually for beating their girlfriend that was like, what was it?
We would have talked about that one the week before the Oscars if we'd been on the air. That was the gentleman that beat up his girlfriend and was wearing a t-shirt that said, I didn't hit you, I just high-fived your face. And that shirt is actually in his mugshot.
Yep.
He's another piece of work and another loser, I think also from the Midwest. I don't know what's going on. Florida's letting us down. Florida, you gotta get...
Step up your game.
It's getting warm out. Let's get back in the game.
It's crazy, though.
You know, the baseball players are back, and time to act like the state we know you can be. Anyway, that is that's all the time we got for this week. Again, Providence Place Mall, Lego Americana Roadshow. It's free. You just walk in. It's there. It is there through this weekend. Go check it out. It will not be back here this year. So your next chance to see it will be sometime maybe in 2017 if they don't stick on the other side of the country. So until next time, Lisa Nichols.
Lovely as always.
And I am Derek Gary. Until we see you next week.